Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
President Bush continues to not let facts get in the way of his ideology.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello, and welcome to another fun-filled edition of the Above Politics Show. I am not Martin Bain.
And guess what? I am not Justin Case.
Oh, that comes as a huge relief to me.
And I suspect there's people out there thinking, what is going on here? Have these guys finally lost the plot? Has it all gone wrong? Have we been, you know, too many blue smarties? Have we had too many cheap cola drinks?
Actually, this time through, we're in a very good sober position, I might add, but we have for our listeners this week a conversation with an actual political party founder.
Absolutely. A first for us to get someone who was there at the start of a political party, who was, early days, which is great fun. So as a little teaser, we have the leader of the official Monster Raving Loony Party coming up later. Interesting, I got to say, a very interesting guy. I suspect we could have probably chatted for a little bit longer than we actually did, but we all had some time pressures. Howlin' Lord Hope we were speaking to. Very interesting guy. And for me, a bit of an eye-opener because I've known of the official Monster Raving Loony Party for many years, and they brightened up UK politics and UK general elections. But actually to talk to the leader, it was really eye-opening.
Now, you can blame this on me because as we go into the Democratic National Nominating Convention, which is followed by the Republican National Nominating Convention, I said to myself, man, how do we prime the pump for this? And I happened to hear Martin talking about the official raving loony monster party, and I said, that's the thing right there. I don't care who we have to bribe. I don't care what we have to infiltrate. We got to talk to this guy.
Hey, this promises to be fun.
And rest assured, we did. You know, he had some sound ideas. We managed to ask some member questions, and we just let Alan go. I have to say, we let him off the leash. He spoke about how the party was founded. He spoke about the Screaming Lord Sutch, who was the another key founder of the party. And we just let him go. And I got to say, a very good interview.
Now, speaking of letting things go, we're not going to be doing a new trivia challenge this week just because there's so much tied up in the conventions that we're going to put that on hold.
Absolutely. So it looks like you and I are one for one on asking questions and not getting answers. So we'll hold the answer to the question for a while. We may use it again, and it just saves my brain power here.
Oh, well, we should, by all means, we should go out of our way to manage critical resources.
Absolutely. And that's a very critical resource.
I was tempted to say depleted resource, but then again, I realized that the last thing that you're actually low on right now is brain power, because this interview, boy, I couldn't get a word past you during this interview with Lord Alan Hope.
I do have to turn around. I will put my hand up to that one. As I've said, such an interesting guy. I do apologize, dear listeners. You hear Alan's voice substantially. You hear my voice little less substantially, and I'm afraid you are right, Justin. You didn't get much of a look in, but hey, I'm sure one time, you know, you'll pay me.
Well, there was a lot to go for. Now, we here at the AP show, we try to bring you people and points of view that you're just not going to hear from in any other show, no matter where you look on the net. And really, I think we hit the ball out of the park this time, because here in the States, while everybody's whining about, where's the third party? Where's the third party? I want my third party. There in the UK, that's about as third party as you can possibly get.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we are I'm going to say, slightly blessed with, you know, the ability to have a multitude of parties at any by-election. I mean, yeah, sometimes you may only get maybe four or five parties, but, you know, in some of the recent by-elections, certainly in England, you know, there's been maybe 10 or 12 candidates standing, which means, you know, a lot of them are what you'd call as traditional third-party candidates. So I suppose in the UK, we really need to call them fourth-party candidates, because we have the Labour Party, we have the Conservative Party, and we have the Liberal Democrats, who are you can't detract from that. They are a full-blown major third party in certainly English politics and probably British politics. So, you know, I think it'd be fair to call parties, you know, like the Official Monster Raving Loony Party as the credible fourth parties, and there's a whole slew of them there. But we are blessed, you know. The next general election in my area, I may well have six or seven candidates to vote for. Of course, typically, probably only it's either going to be the Labour Party, Conservatives, or Liberal Democrats who are going to get elected, but I will potentially have maybe between three and six other candidates who will either be people who are doing it for single issues, people from some of the other fourth parties, or, you know, for £500, that's all you need to find, £500 to stand as a candidate in a by-election or general election.
Okay, fine. I'm going to pull out my soapbox here for a second, and I'm going to admit that another reason why I wanted to have this particular interview is because here in the States, honestly, I've had no luck at all with making contact with Democratic Party officials. I've tried the national level, the state level, and the local level, and honestly, they just won't talk to me, and I don't know if that's a policy decision on their part or something that's bad breath related on my end, but it's been a real surprise, because even though I have had people from the Liberty Party and the Constitution Party and even the Green Party who've said no, at least we've gotten through a portion of the media vetting process. You know, that's a normal part of everything. And the fact that the Democrats won't give me, as a member of the new media, the time of day, I think is actually comical. So it kind of fits my mood for this particular show today. Although, I gotta say, the Republicans have been surprisingly accommodating. I've gotten a great deal of material from them, which I will be sharing in the not-too-distant future. And, Martin, honestly, all I can say is that I think the number one reason they're being so cooperative with the new media is that they feel a disturbance in the force.
Well, maybe we'll save that for another show, because I tell you, I'm not entirely convinced the whooping is going to be as large as everybody thinks.
Well, with that in mind, why don't we switch gears and listen to the very latest in the UK Roundup.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Rabbit.
And I'm his co-host, Johnny Anonymous. And we do a show called The ATS Mix on AboveTopSecret.com. You know, after Dave and I get through doing one of our shows, we like going and listening to one of our sister shows on the Above Network LLC.
And you know, Johnny, one of my favorites is over on BelowTopSecret.com. It's the new and hilarious BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock, his partner. When you're looking for lighter entertainment, these guys will rock your world with the best of sports, news, television, radio, and general discussion.
Oh, good.
They feature member posts, member on-air conversations, and celebrity interviews. This is a show that everyone is really going to enjoy.
And if by chance politics might be more your cup of tea, then AbovePolitics.com is going to be right up your alley. You know, the Above Politics show features Martin Bain and Justin Case, and they give you insightful and informative information that you're just not going to find anywhere else. They feature intelligent conversation on posts from our members, member interviews about their stance and platforms, as well as interviews with noted political figures and authors. You know, Dave, this really is your one-stop political shop.
And you're right about that, Johninator. So come join us all. Deny ignorance with Johnny and I on the ATS Mix Show.
Deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
And deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with our friends Martin Bain and Justin Case.
And then you too can be a part of the revolution. Above Network LLC.
Yeah. Hi, Martin and Justin. This is Neff with this week's UK Politics Roundup. We'll start with the cross-party parliamentary joint committee proposal that came to light this week to establish a UK Bill of Rights. The committee report suggests that, and I quote, Britain needs a Bill of Rights to protect the liberty of the individual. It is proposed that the bill cover the existing requirements of the Human Rights Act, detailed rights for children, rights to health care and protection against poverty. The chairman of the joint committee, Andrew Dismore, goes on to suggest that such a bill would, in his words, provide a framework for protecting the liberty of the individual against the intrusion of state power, and for protecting the little person against powerful interests. What makes that bill all the more interesting is that also, in the works this week, is a proposal by the Labour government's Home Office to make it mandatory for telecoms companies and internet service providers to store details of individual personal web use for a period of 12 months in order to, in their words, make it easier to investigate serious crime. Both the Conservative and Liberal Democrats are against the proposals, suggesting that such powers would be used to pry into the lives of ordinary people. This bill comes on the heels of proven allegations a few months back that local authorities were abusing the use of the 2000 Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act, originally designed to specifically combat terrorist activities, in order to prosecute people for trivial offences such as dog fouling, littering and overweight wheelie bins. Obviously, Labour still isn't listening to what people really think or want, and that finally leads me to David Miliband, who may well be on the prowl to launch a Labour leadership bid should the party fail to win or have its position seriously undermined in the forthcoming Glenrothes by-election in Scotland, which will happen sometime in September. Miliband, the current Foreign Secretary, has been in the UK media recently for breaking ranks and not defending Gordon Brown during a recent BBC radio interview where callers repeatedly cast doubts on the Prime Minister's leadership. British politics is sometimes gauged on what people don't say rather than what they do, and Miliband said a whole lot of nothing. Watch this space, because after the summer parliamentary recess, things may just get even more interesting. That's all from me, so back to you in the studio.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Do you ever have one of those days when you feel like you really should be wearing a tinfoil hat? Are you tired of being abducted in the middle of the night? Are you fed up with being stalked by reptilians? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then hey, we've got a deal for you. Case Professional Industries introduces Conspiracy Wash. Use this product in the shower, as a tile cleanser, or as a body wash. Within 3 to 5 weeks of casual use, no reptilian will be able to catch your scent. Extraterrestrial visitors won't be able to stand the taste of you, and you won't leave fingerprints in public places. Please be aware that this is not an actual hygiene product. This product is not meant for internal use. Keep away from open flames or small children. This product does not require a prescription. Ask for Conspiracy Wash today.
Now, I'm not saying that just because Nephemore's one of my countrymen, but as usual, excellent roundup, what's going on, concise, to the point. And he's, you know, this, to my mind, it's always the stuff that I actually would want to know if I wasn't, say, listening to the radio, watching TV. I just needed the quick digest, just as we normally get from our colleague in Canada. But I understand he's on vacation. So just for the time being, I'm going to be a little bit less knowledgeable about what's going on in Canada as well.
Now, on the other hand, if our listeners like what they hear in these specialty segments, all I can say is that if you want to do this, then give us a call, drop us a line. We don't actually have an 800 number, but we do have a brand new website. You can reach us at www.theabovepoliticsshow.com, where you can drop us an easy, eco-friendly, low-calorie, nice-tasting email.
Absolutely, you can. And I'm sure Justin's going to be really nice and to make sure that you have a link to the website on the show notes for this thread. And I'm going to say it's not perfect, the website. If there's someone out there maybe who can help us out a little bit, I wouldn't say no to a little bit of guidance and advice on how to do website design, because it's something I'm fairly new at.
You know, I strongly suspect you're going to get a U2U from one of our most ardent fans, Tuning Spork. You know, he's a big-time technology guy. I'm sure that he'll have quite a bit of helpful information to pass your way.
Oh, drat these computers. They're so naughty and so complex. I could pinch them.
That's all I'm really interested in. So that's a little bit of help on that.
Speaking of useful information, let's now segue into our interview with one of the founders of the official Raving Loony Monster Party.
Hi, this is Harlem Hardy, a.k.a. Corinne, and I love listening to the Above Politics Show with Justin and Martin.
Hello, everyone. I'm Spencer Tracy. Along with Doc Hancock, I host the new BTS Mix Show. We have a lot of fun, and when we're done with our shows, we like to head over and listen to our sister shows, the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, and the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case on the Above Network LLC. The ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous is the source for the latest information on breaking stories, conspiracy theories, and some stuff that's just plain weird. Johnny and Dave have insightful discussions about member posts, member interviews, and exclusive interviews with experts in their field. When I need the latest news and insight from the political arena, I log on to the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Martin and Justin really break it down for me. They discuss member posts, interview members about their stance on the issues, and they have access to today's noted political figures and authors. So come on over and deny boredom with me, Spencer Tracy, and my co-host, the marvelous Doc Hancock, on the BTS Mix Show. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. And deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Be part of the revolution. The Above Network LLC.
This is Don White. I've been enjoying Above Top Secret for a long time, and I like to have my opinions put out, and I like to see other people's as well. And that's one place I can go to see both.
And we're really lucky today to have the party leader of the official Monster Raving Loony Party, Howlin' Lord Hope. How are you, Lord Hope?
I'm extraordinarily well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And I want to say thank you for giving your time today. We appreciate.
Well, I appreciate you asking me more than you very frankly be on the show.
Hey, we asked our members who they'd like to interview, and several members popped up to me and said the official Monster Raving Loony Party, and I said yes, that's one we want to get.
Okay, let's go and do it then.
We must go and do it. So all we'd like to do is just start off, if you could just maybe spend a couple of minutes just explaining to our listenership who will be around the world. I'm fortunate. I'm English. I know of the official Monster Raving Loony Party. I suspect Justin on the other end of this and also our other listeners may not know. So a brief history or what the official Monster Raving Loony Party stands for?
There will be many, many people who do know. It's got many, many members all around the world, actually. Especially in expatriate countries like Australia, New Zealand, Canada, even South Africa and India. Anyway, yes, the official Monster Raving Loony Party started off as Dear Screaming Lord Such, who everybody will remember if they're anything about British politics. It all originated in 1964 when he stood for National Teenage Party. He thought teenagers would be getting a raw deal then. Well, they probably were, because they could go to war for the country at 18, but couldn't vote till they were 21. And that was one of his main policies of the day. And also he campaigned for commercial radio as against the BBC stranglehold, because the BBC refused to play any rock and roll. Would you believe that? That's actually true. And we actually campaigned for all-day pub opening right back in 1964. And the abolition of the 11-plus. He didn't think that 11 years old was the right age for somebody to have to take an exam. And whether they passed that exam or whether they didn't, it would affect them for the rest of their life. You know, to have to go to a grammar school and have a better education. And therefore, because you went to grammar school, you sort of a better chance of getting a better job than somebody who went to a secondary modern school. And over the years, everybody's all that's loony. I think it was one of the big politicians of the day. This was up in Stratford-on-Avon, by the way, in 1964. It was a seat that Lord Perfumer had to vacate because of the Christine Keeler affair. There's a bit of history going on there, isn't there? One of the big politicians of the day, I'd like to say it was Anthony Wedgwood then, but I've done a bit of research on this. I don't think he actually stood then, but one of the big positives of the day at Stratford-on-Avon was asked, what did you think of the policies of screaming Lord Such? And he said, they're nothing more than the rantings of a raving loony. Well, bearing in mind it was a national teenage party then, well, come through all these years and all these four main points that he was campaigning for all became law. 1978, when they actually did away with the 11 plus and things. And we took them at their word and said, OK, let's become the raving loony party. And that's actually how it all started. It wasn't our idea. It was the idea of the other big politician. I suppose about 1978, I bought a big hotel down in Devon, and Screaming Lord Such used to come visiting me down there. And we decided that we'd start the official Monster Raving Loony Party in a bigger way. Official meaning that we are the only official party in the land as a loony party, because we'd be the only loony party as opposed to the unofficial loony parties like Labour, Conservative and Liberal. And Monster, we put the word Monster in, nothing to do with Dracula or Frankenstein or anything like that. It was all to do with, we thought we were the biggest party. If all the biggest party in Great Britain is the party of the people who don't vote. We thought if all the people who don't vote voted for us, we'd win. And that's how it all started.
Golly, so I think we have a first here, Justin. We're actually talking to a founder of a political party.
Yes, you actually are, yeah.
That is a monster big deal.
Yep. That's a first for us then. Very good. And I suppose one of the things that you were just talking about, some of the things, and I'm old enough to remember having to sit the 11 plus and then discovering that I was going to be going to a comprehensive rather than a grammar school, which is...
Yes, so do I. I remember exactly the same thing.
Probably a bit of a disappointment for my parents, but such is life. Hey, it's got me here today. But what was really interesting was the four things you mentioned. Strangely, the two big parties, and I suppose it's fair to say the two big parties in the UK, have taken them all on board. So that to me is quite interesting. But one of the questions I'm interested in, what changes would you want to make to the British electoral process? Because, I typically every by-election, there's always someone from the official Monster Raving Loony Party, but, you get some votes. But how do you sort of, what changes would you see so that a core of people would say, hang on a minute, I'm actually happy to vote for the official Monster Raving Loony Party because I actually think they're going to do something?
Well, hopefully this is happening now. We had a bit of a lull about sort of 5 or 6 years ago when Screaming Lord Such decided he didn't want to be with us anymore in this world. We had a bit of a lull then. It's all building back up again now. And you're quite right. People do see us on the podium there every by-election in the country. And every general election, they don't come around very often, but we're always there. And people are now saying to us, "Oh, we thought you packed up, but no, well, we're right behind you." And we do quite well. In fact, when we turn up at these by-elections, all the media, like the radios, televisions, and the cameramen and everybody else, say, "Oh, thank God you're here. At least you make us smile. It won't be so stuffy like it normally is if you're not here, So you're right. I mean, people are taking notice. We just hope that one day, well, one of us might save their deposit. We've never ever done that.
Oh right,
nobody has ever saved their £500. That's what it is. And it was Maggie Thatcher who put it up from £150 to £500 to stop the frivolous parties. She never mentioned our name particularly, but we all knew who she meant. But you'll see, at the last one of the last general election, the last by-election here, Holt and Price and Howden, there was up in Hull, there was 20 candidates standing. So it doesn't really put people off £500. It's not that much now these days. I mean, many, many years ago, if you remember the same things I'm talking about, you must be nearly as old as me. And £500 was a lot of money then, wasn't it?
I turn around and say £500 is a lot of money today, but it means... And so just out of curiosity, and just for our listeners, it's probably worth just explaining that if you want to stand in a by-election or a constituency election in the United Kingdom, you have to pay a deposit of £500.
Yes.
And if you get, what percentage is it before you get your deposit back?
5% of the turnout.
5% of the turnout. So out of curiosity, do you know what happens to that? Does that £500 go to the Chancellor?
Oh, it must do.
Ah.
It must do. We certainly don't get any ice creams back for it, you know.
So how is the party funded? Because as you say, every time there's a by-election, someone has to stomp up £500.
We are working on this on a big way at the moment. At this point, I must mention William Hill, the well-known bookie in Great Britain, the racing man, and Graham Sharp, who worked for. And perhaps still does well for Graham Hill. He was a very, very good friend of Screaming Lord Sutch. He knew him from his days when he was a reporter on the local Harrow newspaper, where Screaming Lord Sutch came from. He sort of grew up with him, and he took a great deal of interest in Screaming Lord Sutch himself and the Monster Raven Loony Party. And we used to get some support from them. They would sponsor a candidate, not as much as actually pay the £500 deposit there and then outright, but they would lay us a free bet, 100-1, £5-1 and on £100, that we wouldn't get any good work. He'd do his homework. We reckon that if you wouldn't get 200 votes. If we got 200 votes, then we would win our bet, and that's how it was all sponsored.
Oh, right, I've got that. And I suppose a question that comes off that one, and I know it has been raised on AboveTopSecret.com sometimes, is where do you stand with state funding of political parties?
Oh, we wish it was. Well, come on. We need state funding. I don't know exactly how it's going to work. I have heard that you've got to have at least one member of parliament to even be considered. That's the moment, and at the moment, we wouldn't be in it.
Because interestingly, when this is discussed on our forums, there's always the question of people saying, I don't want my money being used to maybe fund the Communist Party, maybe funding the Green Party, maybe funding the British National Party.
Well, I can understand a lot of Conservatives saying, oh, I don't want my money funding the official Monster Raving Loony Party, you know. But, same thing, I suppose, isn't it?
I suppose it is there. So. Yeah. And we, as we said, we asked some of our members to post some questions. And I've got a question here from one of our members called Groovy Cat.
Groovy Cat.
Groovy Cat.
It sounds like one of our party members' names.
Ah, maybe
it
is. He's an apprentice physician. Ah, never mind. So he's got a fairly long question. And basically says, first of all, he wants to congratulate you on having such a logically minded and down-to-earth party that bypasses all the nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But his question is regarding the amount of CCTV cameras is getting a bit over the top. So he was wondering what your views would be on passing a law forcing all the most hilarious moments captured on these cameras, drunks walking into lampposts, for example, to be shown in every newscast.
What a jolly good idea, but forget about the word CCTV. It should be OMRLP TV, shouldn't it? Official Monster Raven Loony Party TV.
Good, that's a very good plug. I like that one.
Yes.
I like that one.
Do you really want to see a 3-hour newscast every night?
With those sort of things, yes, wouldn't it be funny?
Ow!
Absolutely. And he just goes on and he adds a little bit more, because I just when I saw Groovy Cat's question, it made me smile again. He believes that this would raise British morale concerning state security and give all those bored camera operators something to do, thus increasing their concentration and making them more likely to spot a threat or crime.
Well, yes, because I'm pretty sure that a lot of these cameras don't actually work, do they? They're just there for show, aren't they? I'm sure they are. I'm led to believe they are.
Well, yes, unfortunately, when I sort of try that game with speed cameras, I normally bet wrong.
You always pick the wrong one, do you?
Yeah, I always do. So we've actually answered a question by Freedom ERP, who spoke about the original idea for founding the party. Ah, Freedom ERP has another question. He says, if you had Gordon Brown's ear for 5 minutes and could influence a single policy, which one would it be?
Which one would it be?
Yes, if you had 5 minutes of Gordon Brown's time and you could influence one policy.
Influence one policy. Well, the one policy would be that, well, I suppose, like everybody else, take the word war out of the dictionary. I suppose. It shouldn't be there, should it?
That's a very laudable thing to do. I'm not sure whether I would be that altruistic if I had that opportunity, but hey, a really great thing. So presumably, sort of, you would, if the official Monster Raving Loony Party comes to power, presumably we'd be out of Iraq and Afghanistan rather quickly.
I believe in peace parties. I mean, people often said to me, we're at war in Iraq. We're not really at war in Iraq. I mean, we are there as a peacekeeping movement, I thought, with the UN. The only thing that's different is that it seems to be war because the people out there seem to be firing their guns at us. I mean, we don't fire our guns at them first, surely, do we? We're not at war with them, are we? We're there as a peacekeeping, aren't we? I actually live in Aldershot. And there's lots of soldiers from Aldershot over there, and somebody gets blown up in a wayside bomb on the booby showers. I mean, that's not necessarily war, but because that happens, then we go looking for them, and I think they're bringing the war upon themselves. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We are there as a UN peacekeeping force.
It does to me. I just wonder, because I know sort of Justin being an American, we're probably going to put him a little bit on the spot here, and I'm sure the US don't see this as a peacekeeping campaign under the auspices of the United Nations.
So far as I know, the United Nations has very little to do with the American mission in Iraq at this time.
I'm also interested, where would you fit, or where would you see integration with Europe? I mean, you know, does the official Monster Raving Loony Party have a stance on the EU?
Yes, we do. Get out of it straight away. Invite the EU. Instead of us joining the Euro, invite Germany, France, and all the other countries to join the English pound, the pound sterling. The official Monster Raving Loony Party would then insist that because we are the biggest island that Europe's got, we would insist that we become the tax haven for the whole of Europe. Jersey, Guernsey and the Isle of Man, the islands around Great Britain that are tax havens already, can then become our satellite islands, and we can tell the gnomes of Zurich they're going to sling their hooks in the nearest fish pond.
Ah, see, I actually like that one because, I have friends in Europe and I work for a European company. I do work occasionally, which is quite frightening. And every time I'm talking to my European colleagues, I always say to them, I don't have a problem with a single currency in Europe either. It's just that we always disagree on which currency it should be.
Yeah, exactly, yes. I mean, the French didn't want the franc and the Germans didn't want the mark. They're all sorry they ever got rid of it now, mind you.
Well, I think they are, and I suppose the only other one I hear occasionally is everyone says, oh, why don't we all have the dollar? But I've got to say, not entirely sure by that one.
You know, I've got the dollar right now, and I'm not entirely sure about it either.
But every country has their own dollar, don't they? We've got the Australian dollar. Surely we could have the German dollar, the French dollar, and the British dollar. We probably could, couldn't we?
Ah, that's a sound idea we've got there. That's a very sound idea there.
Yeah.
And talking of things American, this can either be an official party view or your personal view. Who do you think is going to win the US presidential elections? And it may be different, is who would you like to win the US presidential elections?
Probably the person I would like to win the US presidential election isn't even standing. To be quite honest with you, I don't know a lot about Mr. Obama at all. Don't know a lot about him whatsoever. I know he's in the newspapers over here, and he seems to be quite high profile. I read that he's been out to Europe, and he's doing very, very well out there. I don't really know a lot about him. I'll tell you what, I'm changing the tact a bit. You mentioned America. Perhaps I should be the governor of America, because I actually love America. America is the be-all. America is a different planet to me. I've been over there many, many times, and I actually love it. I'm one of those people who love America. And people over here say, oh, I don't want to go to America. I don't like it over there. And when I say, have you ever been? No, never been there. Well, don't knock it until you've been there, because it's a different planet. It's a lovely place, and I love it.
And I'm sure Justin would say that Alaska is the better part of the U.S. as well.
If I did not live in America, I would come to America.
Right.
Ah.
Well, that's what I'm saying now. I don't live in America, but every time I come over there, I love it. And Joe, my most favorite place in America, my most favorite place in the world, is a place in America called Nashville, Tennessee. Absolutely wonderful.
The home of country and western.
Can't wait, and rock and roll. Can't wait to get back there.
And some of the best dry rubbed baby back ribs on the planet.
Yep.
Food. We always bring food somewhere into these. Into the now, I can remember you and I were talking off air while we were planning all this. When you were talking, there might be something going on in Florida.
Yes, yes. We had an email from Vero Beach in Florida saying, can we start a branch of your official Monster Raven Loony Party over here in the States? Because we've been watching you we've been looking on your website, and we've seen you on the BBC News over here, and we thought it's just great that we need to start it over here, because you boys have a sense of humour, and it seems to me that you take the out of politics in the right sort of way, and you get away with it legally, and we'd like to do that as well. So I said, well, yes, go ahead, and let's go. On your inaugural meeting, just let me know, because I'll fly over there straight away.
So
it could happen.
So Florida could be the first chapter of the official Monster Raving Loony Party in North America.
I have tried before, because I came over some years ago to form a liaison with a party called the Rhinoceros Party. Would you remember them?
Sadly, I've never heard of them.
Well, the Rhinoceros Party operated out of Canada, and I came across and I met them in Burlington, Vermont, where they put their first candidate forward in Burlington, Vermont for your elections out there. If I thought quickly, I could probably remember his name, but I can't remember his name at all now. But he was the fastest left-handed chucker for Boston Red Sox, and his name was Bill, his middle name was Spaceman, and the third. I can't think of his surname, but I'm pretty sure if you look up in the records, he'd be there. I came over and formed a liaison with them, and I said, why are you called the Rhinoceros Party? And they said, well, we think the rhino, the animal, is the nearest thing to a politician. He's thick-skinned, he's myopic, he wallows in mud and runs when he's cornered. I thought that was quite good, that.
That's great. Well, I'm absolutely sure that one of our members will no doubt post when we put this show out on the website. Someone will probably very quickly tell us who that picture is. So I'm pretty sure we'll know the answer.
Well, the name nearly came then. Bill Lee. Bill Spaceman Lee. That's him.
I mean, touching on things slightly more closer to home, you know, it's certainly the States. I know that Justin would be complaining that he might have to be paying $4 or maybe $4.50 for a gallon of petrol, whereas you and I, Ellen, will be paying, what, £1.15, £1.16 a litre. So what would you do if you had the opportunity to impact fuel prices?
At this precise moment in time, in fact, if you ask me that question again about bending Gordon Brown's ear, I would tell him straight away to knock the VAT off of petrol. If not just for a year, knock it off and gradually build it up again, perhaps maybe as the economy gets a bit better and everybody will be happy. It all makes sense to me. But
I suppose the question that people, and I must confess, it's an idea that I think has been, certainly I've thought about occasionally, is, but then people would turn around and say, but what services are we prepared to drop because of the amount of revenue that the government get from fuel, which, you know, it runs into billions of pounds. They would turn around and say, so what services would someone be happy to drop if they had no VAT on fuel?
Stop giving our money away to foreign countries as aid.
Okay. That's certainly going to save some money. So
yeah, save a lot of money. In fact, what they could do, and I'm surprised they haven't done it yet, which would recommend a little bit. I don't know whether this happens in America as well, but we have to have an MOT on our car here once a year. And do you know what? I think that's the only thing in that sort of line that's not got VAT on it.
But it's still £50.
Yes, but VAT on £50 once a year. No, you bat an eyelid at that. It would help towards it, wouldn't it? And stop giving money away. It would, you know, and stop going to war, perhaps.
I have a question to ask before we wrap up here. I notice that you tend to use humor to make your political points. So
yes.
I'm just curious to know, How many people do you have on staff that generate material, or is that does that humor come as more of a grassroots thing?
Well, if you go up on our website, which is omrlp.com, you'll find there's a page there that anybody can send in any policies they want, and we'll mull them over. Come our next party political conference, we could even put them on our agenda. And our next party political conference is this coming September, the 25th, 26th, and 27th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of September, at the Raven Hotel in Hook, in Hampshire. Obviously in England, not New Hampshire, Old Hampshire.
Oh, maybe I could get press credentials to it, Justin.
You what? Certainly can. You've got them now if you want them. I've just given you permission.
Hey, look at that, Justin. Just been given permission to be a press credentials for the official Monster Raving Loony Party Conference.
No red tape. Think about how much money you've just saved.
I certainly have. Golly, it's absolute fortune. Absolute fortune. I think, Justin, I just want to thank you very much, Alan. That's been absolutely, I've got to say, one of the more fun interviews we've done. But certainly, hopefully, we've had the opportunity to enlighten our members across the world about the official Monster Raving Loony Party.
And thank you for inviting me. In fact, to go one step farther, if anyone wants to get up on our omrlp.com website, there are also membership forms up on there that they can download and join us.
Hey, I'm going to put a challenge out to see if any of our members and listeners will actually do that. If they do, you can tell us, and I'm going to break the rules here, Justin. If you do join the official Monster Raving Loony Party, and I confirm it with Alan, we'll give you 500 applause points.
I thought you were going to say we'll give you £500 to sponsor your next campaign when you stand.
I'm afraid our budget... We've spoken about this in previous shows. Our budget isn't that big, really. We're hard-pressed to afford a biscuit between us.
Mm. Another little thing just before you go. I'm off to do a... tomorrow I've been invited along to the BBC to do a television interview for a thing called The Coach, whereby they get all these people together on a coach and they take them across to Europe for a month. You're all on this coach and you get stopped off at hotels and you eat and this, that and the other. And if you've got... Once you've got two yellow cards, you get sent home. Much like Big Brother house and I'm in the jungle, get me out of here, I suppose. Oh. I'm going to do an interview to that tomorrow, so if I'm on it, it'll probably go around the world and people will see me on there.
Cool. That sounds exciting. Well, we want to thank you very much. And if we wanted to talk to you in the future, is that going to be a problem, Alan?
No problem whatsoever. You're okay. Quite welcome.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and we appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
This is Luke, otherwise known as ATS Member Expert 11, and I enjoy listening to the Above Politics show.
It's really nice to hear from somebody who's so knowledgeable and yet who's not afraid to use humor to make his point.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just wonder whether from mainstream politicians throughout, say, the United Kingdom, North America and other countries, whether people will listen and think humor is a very powerful message. And hopefully, as Alan was saying in that interview, there's talk about setting up a Monster Raving Loony Party in Florida. So hopefully, you know, maybe the Floridians are going to be the first to experience comedy as an integral part of the political message. And who knows, in maybe 5, 10 years, 12 years' time, we could be voting for an official Monster Raving Loony Party candidate for president.
No, 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 you're doing it all wrong.
You know, if that ends up happening in your country, I think I may rethink my vacation plans.
I tell you, I've got to say, I think a lot of people would probably come if we had a monster raving loony party prime minister, and I'm sure Alan would only be too delighted to do that. But as you heard him say, he's happy to give me full press credentials to their party conference at the end of September. So there's another first for the show. Not only have we had a bona fide founder of a political party, but we've also been given full press credentials to their conference.
Wow. You know, you and I actually have something in common now. In the course of making contact with the Republican National Committee to get some of the insider dope on their national convention, I somehow, through a quirk of fate, also ended up with media accreditation. And although it's not really in our budget to take advantage of this, I gotta tell you, as a member of the new media, it makes me feel pretty good to know that that somebody would have the confidence in what we do to extend that invitation to you or to me, for that.
Maybe it's, you know, these parties are now starting to realize that there's a traditional media and there's also the new media. And you know, some of these parties are obviously being very clever here, realizing that we can't just cater for one. We have to cater and realize that there are a lot of people who get their news via the internet, who will get their, you know, their ideas on politics, or they listen to shows like this via the podcast. There are a lot of people who don't use the traditional methods that maybe, you know, our fathers, and maybe, you know, I have to admit, even I did, maybe even 15 years ago, that you got most of your political news from, you know, the newspapers, the radio, or the television. Now, yes, that still probably plays a little bit of where I get my information from, but a lot of it will come from new media, from emails, from podcasts, from looking on the internet. And these parties obviously realize that that is the way for them to get access to a whole new set of voters who have maybe never been exposed to what the Democrats can do, what the Republicans can do, what the Labour Party in the UK, the Conservatives, the Liberals, even the official Monster Raving Loony Party. Clever parties look and see what's changing and they adapt with it, because they know that's the only way they're going to renew the constituency that's going to vote for them. To me, it seems blatantly obvious.
All I can say is, instead of wanting to turtle up and be afraid of this stuff, I want to embrace it, because not just because I'm a member of the new media, but honestly, if you sit down and make a list, if you look at the current run of ATS Mix shows, you look at what Dave and Johnny are doing with the ATS Mix, you look at what Spencer and Doc are doing with the BTS Mix, and you look at what we're doing here on the AP show, on any given week, do you realize that our listeners are getting not less than 12 different bites of information that you'll never see on American national media anywhere, except possibly the National Enquirer?
Oh, that fine quality news outlet. But also, if you just take it one stage further.
Now, hold on. Don't anybody reach for the keyboard. I was making an oblique John Edwards reference. And okay, yeah, sure. I was having some fun at the National Enquirer's expense. But the truth is that there's a lot going on out there that you're not going to hear from Tom Brokaw or Katie Couric or any of the other nationally known figures in American media. And it's something that, as you said, today's politicians have to pay attention to that, because, you know, oh, Barack Obama, yeah, sure, he might be our next president. But I'll guarantee you that behind closed doors, his people are saying, hey, look, these are the numbers from the Green Party. These are the numbers from, these are the numbers from the Constitution Party. They're starting to breathe down our neck, boss. We got to be careful.
Absolutely. I just think the other thing to make about getting news media is it's not just from the excellent family of shows that come from the AboveTopSecret.com website, but the fact that we also have members who will post their own thoughts and ideas. So you're talking a minimum of 12. You know, some weeks it could be 12. In other weeks it could be 15, 20, could be 25 different ideas that you're being exposed to just out of one website, because our members can post on here and they can post their ramblings, they can post their views, just as you and I have done. We have now created something called, you know, we put a couple of shows up there called Unplugged, which is Justin and I talking, or maybe with someone else. We just, no editing, no fancy stuff. It's just us maybe for a 35, 40, maybe even an hour, unplugged, so to speak. So you get exposed to maybe what Justin and I think, rather than one of the things we're very careful about is when we're talking to somebody, we want you to hear what they have to say. You get to hear what Justin and I have to think.
To prove that point, next week's show will be a wrap-up of the Democratic National Committee, their nominating convention, in which they have chosen officially Barack Obama as their presidential pick. We're bringing in ATS member Don White. That'll be a totally unscripted event. He's going to say whatever he's going to say. And, hey, there's no telling how many sets of ears he's going to reach. There's no telling how many minds we're going to change in the course of that conversation. But you know that it'll just be more content that you won't get anywhere else.
Absolutely. So presumably you are going to bet the whole of our budget on Barack Obama being the Democratic nomination.
I feel safe doing that. Yeah. I feel safe doing that.
I just wanted to be sure on that one. I think I might put a few more cents in then, just so that we can make a bit more money on the sort of payback from the bookies.
Oh man. Should we mention that?
What?
Never mind. Never mind. I'll cut it. Don't worry about it.
Should we not? I've no idea. But, you know, see, in the UK, betting in bookies isn't seen as something sordid and dirty. Never mind.
I see. So if I sent you a check. Okay, never mind. Hey, look, we're out of time today, folks. So on behalf of everybody behind the scenes here at the Above Politics Show, I am actually Justin Case.
And guess what? I really am Martin Bain, and we'll see you next time on the Above Politics Show.
That's all, folks.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at abovepolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.